Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Democrats, what's up with your assassination culture? We've got a new poll out that says, yeah, killing Elon Musk or Donald Trump is somewhat justifiable. We'll talk about that this morning as well. The Trump administration will not respond to your email request if you're in the media and you use preferred pronouns in your email signature. Also, LIV Golf, you might have heard of it. Kind of a rival, somewhat of an upstart to the PGA Tour. Wait till you hear who they hired to run their marketing department.
Can I ask you a question, Cal, since we're kind of all over the place here at 6:07?
Yeah.
Did you see the Keegan Bradley hole-in-one yesterday?
I saw that. I saw Koepka's hole-in-one.
Koepka did a hole-in-one, too?
Koepka had a hole-in-one. I've never had one. Opelka's still searching for his first one in his 60s. Almost impossible to do.
Can you roll cut one real fast, Phil?
There it is. Keegan Bradley's
mustache.
Par three with a mustache. Cup captain. Maybe that's what I got to do.
We
go with a mustache.
Nice things about Keegan right now.
That's tracking. Look at that. There it is.
Best shot I ever saw.
Going to come down.
It might be the first.
Please
one
go in.
Of the day.
Better than most.
Please go in.
Captain.
Oh,
wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's pick up your kid.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, pick up your other kid.
It's awesome.
Who knew golf could be exciting?
I know. That's how excited I am when my kids go to dance.
Is that rare for the Masters?
Nah, I think it happens on an annual basis. Somebody usually gets a hole in one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys are out there throwing darts. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Also, Greg Stocker's a big fan of firing squad as a way of the death penalty.
Yeah, man.
What about if you are somebody that is diagnosed with autism? Are you still firing squad eligible? Local story, technically, as Dawn would say, in the Poconos. Remember the Idaho murder? Brian Koberger, the suspect. We're going to get into that story. And also, Philadelphia, we might have a weak district attorney, but we are tough on pizza crime. And we will give you those details coming up later today. Before that, let's get to the news, though. Round number one. Pam Bondi's neighbor, Anna Hummel.
All right, at 6 a.m. today is April 10th, 2025, and it's currently 42 degrees in Philadelphia. Today's weather is cloudy and breezy with a high of 55 degrees, and tonight occasional rain and drizzle with a low of 43. Philly's 2025, I'm going to butcher this.
Yeah,
Carnival de Puebla. Does that sound good?
It's good enough for me.
Canceled over concerns of ICE operations, which is a little funny.
ICE as in the agency, not as in bad weather in April.
Yeah. So Philadelphia's Carnival de Puebla has been canceled for 2025 over fears of potential operations by ICE.
That's amazing.
Like shooting fish in a barrel. Come with me. Come with me.
They just stand outside and you're like, and you, and you, and you, and you.
You with the empanada over here.
Are they afraid that some of the players are going to get deported?
I thought it's like a festival.
It's
something that the Phillies do on an annual basis. So they're afraid that people that are going to attend could be rounded
up? I think
this
is a Cinco de Mayo festival.
Okay.
So I think they think that a lot of illegals will attend and that ICE will just be picking people off the street.
You misinterpreted what she said at the beginning. It's not the Phillies. It's Phillies.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Like
I'm
Philadelphia's 2025 Carnival de Puebla.
It's okay.
Clearly, you haven't gone before.
No, I have not. But I thought you meant the Phillies, the baseball team.
She's right. It's like a Cinco de Mayo type thing.
Yeah. The street festival is the largest Cinco de Mayo celebration on the East Coast, attracting an average of 15,000 attendees a year to South Philly. Near the Italian Market, a hub for Latino-owned businesses in the metro area. Hundreds of vendors, performers, and artists were expected, but organizers said report of increased ICE operations under Trump's administration had people canceling their plans.
Sounds like fear porn to me. I think with all the things that Tom Homan and Kristi Noem have on their plate, I'm not sure that they would be attending this festival undercover or setting up shop down the block. I don't know about that. That seems like an overreaction to the political climate.
Well, I mean, if you're here legally, it shouldn't matter.
Right.
You have nothing to worry about.
That's correct.
If you're here illegally and you want to celebrate said festival, you might have something to worry about. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Although if you're here illegally, but you're not MS-13 or a violent repeat offender, the only thing that you've ever done wrong is breaking the law by entering the country illegally, which is a crime, by the way.
Right.
The Democrats are like, nobody's... Well, no, if you're here illegally, you did do something wrong. I don't care if you're not a sex trafficker or an MS-13 cartel member or anything like that. I think if you're just a random illegal here trying to get a better life that didn't go about it the right way, the legal way, I'd probably still imbibe in the May 5th thing.
I wouldn't.
You'd stay home?
Yeah.
Well, you stay home all the time, and you're legal.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate going out of my house.
Oh, my God. I completely agree. I've changed so much over the last 5 years. I used to be a bit of a party animal, like to go out and drink and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm so confused as to how I ever thought that was fun.
Me too.
Like, I'll go out, and I'm like, what? How is this fun? It's terrible.
It's called aging.
Yeah.
COVID made you realize that being around humans is not necessarily all it's cracked up to be.
It was like COVID, getting in a relationship, and then getting older, and I reemerged from COVID, and I'm like, I'm never leaving my house again.
Yeah.
This is, I should have been doing this all along.
Thing ever. By the way, when you gave the weather at the beginning on, everybody's just wondering why you're dressed like you're in the tundra.
Because it's 42 degrees outside.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe it's like 70 in here, but to me it's pretty cold.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the coldest 70 you'll ever feel in the studio.
That's unbelievable. She has a giant winter coat on.
Hummel's bundled up.
Yeah, I got roasted last night by some friends as well. They're like, it's not even cold. I'm like, okay, I'm from Florida, so yes it is.
No, this weather sucks. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny, we bring you up to Philadelphia and you have a ton of friends up here. That's just amazing.
It's really just the same friend I'm hanging out with.
Okay.
Yeah, well, two friends. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You have more friends than I do.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've been here
a lifetime.
For 4 days. I have more friends than Nick.
Can I tell you that I was so vague about my job and what I was doing here because I didn't want them to listen in. One of the friends. The first friend is pretty understandable and cool and, you know, on our team. The second friend is not.
Mm.
And so I was very vague, in the dark.
Wow.
Producer didn't say anything about on air. Don't ask about a station.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you'd, you know.
Want to hang out again.
Yeah. And I really like her. You know, it's one of those things where I don't want politics to get in the way. So,
well, I mean, look, the truth is, if she has a problem with what you're doing,
go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
I don't know if that'd go over well, but yeah.
Hey.
Wrongfully convicted man sues city of Philadelphia. A wrongfully convicted man who spent more than 2 decades in prison filed a lawsuit against the city of Philadelphia, as well as the detectives who were involved in his case. The lawsuit, filed by 47-year-old Tyree Wallace and his attorneys at the Marone Law Firm, LLC, names of the city of Philadelphia and 9 former police officers as defendants. On October 27th, 1997, Young Soo Kang, the owner of Salt and Pepper convenience store in Philadelphia's Point Breeze neighborhood, was shot during an apparent robbery. He was pronounced dead the next day. Wallace was ultimately charged and convicted of the murder and robbery. According to the lawsuit, Wallace's conviction was based entirely on the coerced testimony of 3 witnesses.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm getting a little feedback in my... Are we having like a little... I can hear like double audio.
Is this my fault?
No, I think it might be my fault, so I apologize. I did not hear what you just said, Anna.
That's okay. 5 accused of trafficking fentanyl in Philly region, possibly linked to overdose deaths. 5 individuals are facing charges for the alleged roles in fentanyl trafficking, the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office announced during a press conference.
It's Anna's computer.
Is it Anna's computer? Is your YouTube feed on? I thought maybe Dom's headset's over.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Anna's on Zoom.
There we go.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Is that better?
No, you're good,
Anna. All right. My bad.
No,
members of the drug trafficking organization DTO, known as the Acevedo DTO, were arrested this week, officials said. Investigators believe at least 6 overdoses, 3 fatal, were linked to products produced by the DTO recently. According to the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, the defendants are... These are hard names. Yesenia Duarte, Enrique Munoz Hernandez, Manuel Sanchez Santos, and Victor Bueno Furman, and Jose Rondon are now facing several charges, including conspiracy and possession with intent to deliver.
All right.
And that is a Kale & Company news live.
There you go. Kale & Company coming up next. We'll get to the Wednesday wave. Let's make a deal in the big take as we roll on Thursday morning, Kale & Company. And we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get down to business. Time for a big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. The Big Take, the Wednesday wave. Let's make a deal, shall we? Donald Trump in the United States of America They made giant strides towards free trade, fair and reasonable tariffs, and put the ball into the court of their biggest rivals. Essentially, Trump is reducing tariffs to 10% for all of the 75-plus nations that have reached out, reportedly, and are willing to negotiate better deals. This results in a 90-day pause on those tariffs. But China, who wants to play hardball, you now are slapped with a 125% tariff. So take that. Per usual, the reaction was to be expected. Everybody went into their tribal corners. Over on CNN, international business host Richard Quest poured cold water over the stock market rally, saying a recession is, quote, still highly likely. CNBC, of all places, took a more measured, moderate approach as financial guests claimed that Trump's tariff reversal gave investors much-needed good news, but worries remain. Trump Twitter took a victory lap, posting things such as, and simply as, art of the deal. But perhaps the most accurate, rational, logical breakdown came from a Fox News host that MAGA doesn't necessarily love. We'll play you what he said, followed by Trump confirming that analysis, despite the messenger not being loved by the MAGA base. Here's Charlie Gasparino of Fox News yesterday breaking it down. Listen and watch.
I want to tell you right now that Donald Trump outsmarted the world. Trust me. I'm an American. I support my president. But that's not really what happened here, from what I understand. And I know I'll get pushback, but here's what it is. First off, we should point out that one of the good things about this is that Scott Bessent is finally in the White House. He's finally leading this. I mean, up until a couple of days ago, it was Lutnick. It was Peter Navarro, the Commerce Secretary, the trade advisor, very much hawks. Now it's Scott Bessent, who believes in cutting deals as opposed to, you know, just not you know, just putting these tariffs out there and let's be a mercantilistic economy. That's number one. But number two, let's recall what happened overnight. And from what I understand, and I'm getting this from people that are talking to the White House, what happened in the bond market overnight, the spike in yields on the 30-year and the 10-year bond, which showed that people were dumping our bonds. And who were those people dumping our bonds? Japan, the biggest holder of bonds, was selling bonds. That's what I'm getting from some very big money managers. China, maybe to some extent, but it was largely Japan and others. If you have a mass sale of bonds, that means people are losing confidence in the U.S. economy, on the ability to do deals with us. And from what I understand, this is what forced the hand of this 90-day reprieve. Now, is it a good thing? You know, are people coming to the table? Yeah. But if you read between the lines, or not even what Scott Bessent said, we have no deals, right? There's nobody that is really there saying this is what we're going to do. And they paused it anyway. So my thing that said, well, I'll give you this. There is some art of the deal here. And by the way, brilliant move by putting China in the corner. But that's a whole separate thing. Because remember, that's a very difficult negotiation. Everybody else is a lot easier. They really want to, they do want to deal with us, whether they want to be, you know, forced into really bad trade deals on their end is a whole other negotiating story. But make no mistake about it, you cannot divorce this decision right here from what happened last night.
Charlie Gasparino yesterday on Fox News. But Nick, he's a never-Trumper. Come on, Kale, he's a rhino. Well, listen to Trump himself. He basically confirms the bond take from Gasparino. This was yesterday. Listen and watch.
It does take guts, believe me.
Bond markets that persuaded you to reverse course?
No, I was watching the bond market. The bond market is very tricky. I was watching it, but if you look at it now, it's beautiful. The bond market right now is beautiful. But, yeah, I saw last night where people were getting a little queasy.
A little queasy, right? And didn't I tell you Scott Bessent was the best tariff guy in the White House? I told you for weeks on this show, Howard Lutnick is just a mouthpiece. He's just the television guy. Peter Navarro, bit of a radical. I've said that for about a week. I'll take Scott Bessent and Elon Musk compared to Lutnick and Navarro. Speaking of Bessent, let's hear from him. Here's Scott, the Secretary of the Treasury, laying out the details yesterday. Listen and watch.
As I said, we've given 90 days, and the only certainty we can provide is that the U.S. is going to negotiate in good faith, and we assume that our allies will too. And in terms of certainty, we will see what China does. But what I'm certain of is that what China is doing will affect their economy much more than it will ours, because they have an export-driven, flood the world with cheap export models, and the rest of the world now understands, because when we put up our tariff wall, those exports were already flowing to the rest of the G7 and to the global south.
Scott Bissent, a smart, rational, calculated individual. The results, closing stock prices that soared yesterday. Phil, please post this graphic on YouTube. Look at those numbers. The Dow, S&P 500, NASDAQ, all in the green. And stocks shot to one of the biggest gains ever. The biggest jump for the Dow since March of 2020, which would be over 5 years ago during the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And according to Forbes, it was the largest point gain for all three indexes in their 5-decade-plus histories. So when you look at this, both on the stock market front as well as the tariff front, it's been pretty simple to me all along. With stocks, especially your 401k, stop being emotional. Don't get too low on the lows. Don't get too high on the highs. Just continue to ride the wave. Scott Bissent, bright guy, should be high atop your Trump 47 administration power rankings, in my opinion, right there with Tom Homan. And the rest of these nations were eventually going to bend the knee and tap out. But the big question is China. And finally, I do need to take a little bit of a dig here at Trump. I don't like what I heard in this clip yesterday. Listen and watch this.
About why you decided to put a 90-day pause.
Well, I thought that people were jumping a little bit out of line. They were getting yippy, you know? They were getting a little bit yippy, a little bit afraid, unlike these champions. Because we have a big job to do. No other president would have done what I did. No other president. I know the presidents. They wouldn't have done it. And it had to be done. What was happening to us on trade, not only with, you know, if you look at it, not only with China, but China was by far the biggest abuser in history, and others also, but somebody had to do it. They had to stop because it was not sustainable.
I'm not critical of Trump for doing this to China. I love what he's doing to China. He has basically pitted the entire world against China, and China's back in a corner looking around, seeing 76 other nations that are trying to get things accomplished, and China's playing hardball. But the beginning of that clip, the yippy and afraid quote, I say, Donald Trump, you know what? Screw them. Don't walk back your intentions due to somebody else's fear. Is he referring to the American people there that were getting the yips and afraid because of the bonds? If so, then I disagree with Trump. Keep your conviction. Dig in, double down, force other nations to cave, crush their spirit, snap their will, and let's roll to victory. Maybe that's just me, but I don't like hearing that if I'm interpreting that correctly. But regardless, pretty solid day for the Trump administration. Now we wait and see what these tariffs with these 75 other nations will look like over the course of the next 3 months. Will it go from 10% to zero? Will we have free trade with India, Vietnam, Taiwan, Japan, and on down the list? We wait and see. But what's the final result with China? The answers are still TBD. And that's the big take.
The big take. On Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Furnish your home and make a statement for spring with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. Browse over 16,000 pieces, all high quality, famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or their showroom in Hatfield. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210 WPHT. You can get us on the YouTube feed as well. YouTube.com/@1210 WPHT. Just hit the like and subscribe button and then start commenting on why you hated my big take or you love what Trump did yesterday or anything in between. I won't see it, but the rest of people will, and you can have a blast. All right, Anna Hummel, your thoughts yesterday, before we get into some of our other conversations today, on whether it was the victory laps, the yard of the deal. Seems to be a little bit of that, but also the fear of the bonds and things like that. You got China playing hardball and everybody else kind of saying, you know what, okay, we'll talk Trump. Let's see what we can figure out. What do you think?
I mean, obviously we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And I wasn't exactly sure if he put the pause on just, it was just on some of the countries, right? Were those the countries that were coming to the deal to negotiate? Or was that because he was getting a lot of blowback from people who were traditionally supporting him? I don't know. But much like you said, it's TBD. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
It's one of these things where, like, I've said all along that I thought a lot of these nations will eventually, you know, give us better deals. I think they're more dependent on us in some facets, in some regards. And I always say that China is the big test. Look, China raised theirs to 84, then we went to 125. Ed Lutnick, or maybe it wasn't Lutnick, it was Navarro. Somebody was throwing out the Kevin O'Leary. He's like, tariff China at 400%. And I actually saw a very interesting take that said, push China to the brink. Somebody was, I forget who it was yesterday, was saying, we're never going to be in this position again to get a better deal from China, because we're never going to have a president again with the balls to stand up to China. And I thought that was interesting, because I don't think we have China in the corner, so to speak, like everybody thinks, because we've become so dependent on China. And it didn't happen overnight. We allowed China to take over this planet for the last 35 or 40 years. So I don't think we just all of a sudden take back all the power from China in 90 days or 30 days or in 1 week of tariffs. And that's the thing I'm always worried about. I'm worried about China from a military standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, from a trade standpoint. We have basically became China's BI, fill out the rest of the letters, and I don't know how we get away from that. I really don't. Like, we can play hardball with Xi, and I think Trump and him have conversations, and, you know, I think they actually relatively get along. I do believe that. I don't think Xi ever respected Biden, which is why he was flying spy balloons over this country, which is why we have Chinese police stations in New York City that nobody can explain why they're there or what they're there for. But I do think that this is going to be interesting to see, because I would push China. And if you are getting a little yippy or afraid, then you haven't taken my advice, because I'm like, you know what? I'm not checking my 401k. I'm not looking at the stock. I'm not interested in it. It's a long-term play. If it goes down 7%, up 12%, just like one of these things, like in radio, You have a great show. You have a great ratings book. You have a great quarter. You have a great year. You just go with the flow. Sometimes, you know what? It's the long game. That's what I'm trying to do here. Play the long game, because I don't think China's just going to tap out. I love Trump.
They don't have to. Yeah.
I love Trump's guts and his balls to stand up to China, because God knows we just purchase a bunch of junk. Hey, I need a new mouse for my laptop. Let me go on Amazon. Oh, $3.99. It'll be here by 5 o'clock today. Oh, where did it come from? Right there. Made in China, right?
Yeah, I can't see it, but I'll take your word for it. It's China.
Literally made in China. All this garbage that we buy. And, you know, some of us are at a spot in our life where it's like, hey, we got to be more financially conscious. We got to be careful with what we spend, what we buy. If we can get this for $3.99 on Amazon versus $14 at Staples, we do it. But that's my spiel on the tariffs.
Yeah, but it's not just like the cheap trinkets. It's literally everything. Like, if you look at the tags on all of your clothes, it'll probably say made in China, Pakistan, Indonesia, Vietnam. That's probably who made your clothing. So, yeah, it's hard to just walk away from that. But we need to start the process now, because, like Trump said, it's not something that's going to get fixed in a few months or maybe even a year. But we're looking for, in the long term, decades from now, that we'll be in a better position and we won't be overtaken by China and its power.
Well, let me ask you guys this. So what did we do all this for then? If we were just going to, because
get the best of these other 75 and then China's coin flip.
Here's what irritates me is that two or three days ago, there was a report that they were going to pause the tariffs for 90 days. And as soon as that news came out, the stock market shot up.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the White House said, this is fake news, it shot back down. Yep. And then 2 days later, they do what they reported was fake news. Trump, on Truth Social.
Oh, that small little post.
Comes out and says, hey, today would be a good day to buy.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? Like, he did that at 9:37. He paused the tariffs at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, are certain individuals getting rich off of the fluctuation in the market?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm worried.
No question.
That's what I'm wondering.
No question.
We need to see people's portfolios and to see who took money out in March and then put it back in.
Yep. And there's no question. You're thinking of the phrase and the term insider trading.
Yes.
And what I would like to your point, like, let me see the transactions within that window of what would be 4 hours, I guess. You said 9:30 was the post, and then
9:37
and one then something
1:40.
Okay, so basically a 4-hour window, and that to me is across the board. That's Republicans. That's Democrats. That's slapnuts Dave Portnoy, who I lost $10 million, and he's a Trump voter. I lost $10 million, and now all of a sudden he's taking victory laps yesterday. I just made a killing. Like, all these people with what they lost or gained in the stock market.
Well, here's the thing, that it's not, like, it wouldn't really be considered insider trading because he put it out on social. Like, it would be insider trading if he said to all, hey, by the way, yeah, I'm going to do this. So, no, I'm not saying it's that. But, like, what was the whole, like, what was this all for? And who's getting rich off of it?
To take a victory lap on the numbers, maybe?
The American people aren't getting rich off of this.
No.
So.
I didn't do any trading.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have stocks. I've told you that. I just have my 401k and what we have set up through work. But
Jim, who cares? Yeah, if this was Biden doing this, it would be World War effing III. So stop it. Yeah. Stop it, okay?
How much did Hunter make yesterday?
Oh, God. it would be wall-to-wall coverage on Fox News. Uh-huh. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
You're being intellectually dishonest.
But I will say this. My goal is to, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I'm an open book. I do plan on doing some S&P 500 index stuff. I'm going to buy some of those long-term bonds, 10, 20-year, hold on to them, just see if I can make 8 to 9% growth each year, double them over a decade, quadruple them over 20 years, maybe dabble in a few individual stocks. And if I ever get to that point, because I like to gamble, and that to me is what the stock market is.
I was just going
to
say
It's responsible, acceptable, mainstream gambling. All these years, like, it was taboo to bet on the Eagles. I bet $50 with a bookie on the Eagles against the Cowboys. I was a scumbag. But you're in the stock market, and you're like some elitist. Go pound sand, dude. But I have to be careful, because I will be one of those guys where I won't become too emotionally invested on the highs and the lows. I wouldn't have been one of these people that lost money or gained a ton of money. I'll be very, because if you bet on sports, you want to win long term, you have to be emotionless. You just have to just stick to the plan, and if you're good enough and you do enough research, you can win and basically return a profit at a certain percentage. But like, I would have to be careful, because I'll get really into it. Like, I'll be buying a lot of different things.
At least you know that about yourself.
Yeah. It's like, I would be consumed with it, not emotionally, but like, it would become something where I'm like, all right, I'm going to really go into this and spend way too much time on it and neglect other things. I can't.
Is gambling, would you say, is that like your biggest vice? I mean, not that you do it so much, but like, it's a thrill for you?
It's competition for me.
Okay.
It's just like, I want to like use my brain to, you know, make a profit and be like, okay, I think I still know exactly what's going on in this endeavor. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like a stock market. If I, and I'm not giving financial advice here, so don't take it this way. If I was to invest in individual stocks, I would do media companies, I would do sports gambling companies, things that I know like the industry about, right? Or I would just go to a broker or a financial consultant and say, okay, I've got $5,000 here. Do with it what you think is the financially responsible thing, relatively low risk. Let's try to grow this in a conservative fashion. That's what I would do. But I kind of like this stuff. The whole tariff stuff has gotten me very interested in the finances of countries and the stock market.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm nerding out a little bit here, and I apologize.
I mean, look, if you listen to the president's advice yesterday, you probably made a killing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you would have said, maybe I should, and you know, went all in on stuff, you probably made a killing. But I'm just saying, like, it's just, I just don't understand if this was going to be paused anyway, because the report was out 2 days ago, three days ago, that it was going to be paused, then what is this all, what's this all for?
Loving headlines, like Forbes, the biggest three index was the S&P, the Dow, and the S&P 500, or S&P, Dow, and the NASDAQ, collectively, those three groups had the largest gains in their history.
But did you
now Trump's going to be like, well, you know,
okay,
look what I accomplished.
Okay.
Right.
But if you look at the other seven historic gains for the S&P,
yep.
1929, 2008, 2020.
You're saying after the
depression.
Right before the heart falls.
Right before the heart falls.
Yep.
So I'm just be very skeptical about all of this. I'm just saying, be very skeptical.
Well, usually the biggest gains come from after the biggest drop. So 1929, Great Depression, 2008 housing market, 2020 COVID, right? Those are the three.
Do you guys do the crypto?
No, Sean Farish does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Farish, you guys are just kind of stay away from cryptocurrency.
I don't understand it enough.
I don't either.
Dabble in it. But I know the people who do it swear by it, love it, and, you know, a lot of them are getting rich through it. So, I'm not poo-pooing it.
Well, it's 24/7, right? Like, it doesn't close like the market does.
Exactly.
At dinner time every day.
Road Warrior says all we need is Nick doing his Jim Cramer impression every morning. Buy! Sell! Dan, Dan, Dan.
I will never give financial advice unless it's with a -3 or a +4.5 in front of it in sports. And you can use FanDuel for that. All right, Kale and Company, 855-839-1210, the number. Coming up next, we're going to get into some culture wars when it comes to the left and the right. And you will see that the left, far more dangerous and far more crazy. It's Kale and Company.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
You talk about culture wars and which side is crazier. The Democrats, the left, are crazier. I can't believe I'm actually going to recite some of these statistics here. So the headline from the New York Post, Democrats are forming an assassination culture as Trump rises in power, new study reveals. So there's more than just these videos, obviously, throughout the weekend of protests to Elon Musk and protests to Donald Trump and all these stupid cardboard cutouts of Trump being carried around by a noose by some crazy people with purple hair. This report from the NCRI, which is the Network Contagion Research Institute, found that a growing number of people are willing to justify and even applaud killing in the name of politics. I would call this Luigi Mangione syndrome and a warped sense of social justice. Phil just threw up this graphic here, and this is the data results that they compiled. It's the justification for murder of Elon Musk and Donald Trump. So all respondents in regards to the justification of killing Elon Musk, it's partially justified or more, 32%. But then it goes up to almost 50% for those that identify politically as left of center. Now, with Donald Trump, if you're looking at the graphic on YouTube, partially justified or more for the murder of Donald Trump, 39% of respondents. But when you go left of center only on the political spectrum, 55.2%. Did you ever think in your lifetime, Anna Hummel, that the Democrats and the left would go so far off the reservation of normalcy? Which is interesting because they always talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, fairness and equity and equality for all forms of life, all viewpoints, all ideologies, all genders, all races, all sexes. And it's like, yeah, let's kill Don. I mean, they don't even try to hide it anymore. They go on TikTok and talk about it. Did somebody kill Donald Trump today? Oh, maybe somebody should. And then you see like people on right-wing Twitter saying, you know, tagging Kash Patel and Pam Bondi. FBI, you going to investigate this? Like, these are legitimately broadcast death threats to somebody that you just disagree with politically.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of them are death threats towards Elon Musk, and it's Elon Musk's belongs to Elon Musk.
It's his playground, and he's still getting death threats.
Right, which he's, I guess, allowing because he's a somewhat of a free speech absolutist. But Phil, can you put that graphic up one more time? So maybe it's just because it's before 7 a.m., but when it says 48.6% left of center, does that mean over 50% are right of center?
I guess of the respondents in this poll
that are saying that it's okay to
1,200
kill
US
Elon
adults.
Musk. So would it be that there's a higher percentage of, or maybe like independents or whatever, but
independent centrists, moderate Republicans.
Yeah, 48.6% is less than half. So does that mean that the other half is a righter wing that think it's okay? Honestly, this culture of assassination just feels like a beefed up cancel culture. Like needing to,
it's like kill culture.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm not saying that I don't blame or that I'm trying to say that these people aren't responsible for their own thoughts and actions. But when you have the left wing media saying year after year, day after day, this guy is Hitler.
Sure.
He's a Nazi.
Right.
You know, I mean, again, I think Nazis are bad. If I had the opportunity to kill Adolf Hitler back in 1938, I think maybe I would have taken a shot.
Yeah.
So when you keep calling someone Hitler all the time, they're going to start believing you.
Doesn't that really piss you off, though? I mean, I get it, because you're Jewish, so it's the perfect time to ask somebody. I've said this on the show for almost 2 years now, since October 7th of 2023 with that god-awful day. How does any Jewish American, or maybe not even Jewish American, any Jewish person in general, no matter where they live, how do you feel when people are saying Republicans are Nazis, Trump is Hitler, when we have to actually, I can't believe we have to do it, but it's like, hey, you do realize that Hitler killed 6 million Jews? And he wasn't going to stop. I mean, he had bigger... It's the same MO as Hamas.
Yeah.
And Gaza. And yeah. Everybody in Palestine, you know, the region of Palestine, mm-hmm. Palestinian people, they want the Jews dead.
Sure.
Like, doesn't that piss you off that, like, people are comparing Hitler to the president of the United States?
Yeah, I mean, what's even more ironic and, like, almost comical to a degree is, you know, people calling Ben Shapiro a Nazi. Or like
he's Jewish,
like right wing Jews are like, you're a Nazi. They're like, I'm Jewish. What right. the hell?
Right.
I mean, I don't really look at this from like a Jewish perspective, because was not a victim of the Holocaust, and I don't want to just claim by association
sure.
wasn't affected by it. I mean, I was, in the sense that as a community, you feel it.
Yeah.
I went to Sunday school. You interact with Holocaust survivors, and you're really like touched by their stories.
Well, it's as dumb and off based as somebody in 2025 that's black saying, "I deserve reparations."
Exactly. Like,
no, you don't.
Yeah.
Tell that to a black person from 1937 or 1958.
Right.
You deserve reparations. Don't even have a clue what you're talking about.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about the deal. But when you call everybody a Nazi,
right.
then nobody is a Nazi. It completely waters down the meaning of what is a Nazi. If everybody is a Nazi, I could be a Nazi. You could be a Nazi.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, Cal. Was there slavery in 1958?
No, but there was still all sorts of injustices.
My point being, there was a lot of segregation.
Right.
But segregation is also not slavery.
No, I get that. Yeah. I get that. Okay. My point being, the further you go back, the more the injustices were justifiable.
I agree with you 100%, but segregation is not slavery.
No, totally agree. Totally agree.
Segregation is wrong, but again, not slavery.
That's right. Right. But I do want to be segregated from stupid people. So yeah. I think we should bring segregation back in some regards.
But I also think, like, forced, what would you call it? What's the opposite of segregation? Like, forced...
Desegregating?
Yeah. Like, I don't think that's good, too. Like, if you're forcing people to, like, live with one another, mm-hmm. I don't think that makes it any better. I think you should have the freedom to choose if you want to live in a...
Free will, free choice.
Yeah, relatively white, Jewish, black, Asian neighborhood. You should be able to choose what
if
you want
to If I want to live in a neighborhood with
Not
crazy
integration.
Liberals...
Integration was the word.
Integration.
Yeah.
There you go. Look, because it was my choice to live next to 62-year-old blue-haired liberals in Bluebell.
Yeah.
That was my decision.
Yeah.
And I regret it every day. It's too expensive. 855-839-1210. 1,200 U.S. adults waited to reflect the national census demographics. And they go on to say in this story, Trump, quote, represents the perfect target for assassination culture. He's powerful, he's rich, and he's provocative. This was according to the person that conducted the study, this guy named Mr. Finkelstein. Sounds like a teacher I had in 10th grade. He told Fox News Digital that puts him on the highest shelf for those who glorify political violence. And just to wrap it up here, you know, it's amazing. I hated the EV mandates. I have no interest in electric vehicles. Never once when Elon Musk and these other companies and executives were pushing electric vehicles that I say, you know what? How dare you do that? It's justifiable now for me to kill you, right? Like, I never saw anybody on the right that was anti-Tesla pre-Elon Musk joining our team mm-hmm. that wanted Elon Musk dead. But Elon Musk is now on the right, and the left wants him dead. They lost their climate change hero guy, right?
Yeah.
So now it's 48% are saying, yeah, it's somewhat justifiable to kill him. These people need to be, like, locked up in an insane asylum.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this a few days ago, but the difference between the right and the left is that usually, and I'm generalizing here, but the right looks at the left and they go, you're a moron, you're dumb, you know. And sometimes you feel bad for them. You're like, you're ignorant, what's going on with you?
Right.
But the left looks at the right and they go, you're evil.
Right.
You're bad. And right. you need to be stopped.
You need to be eradicated from society.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. 855-839-1210. Anna's got news to kick off hour number two. And then we'll get to a couple of other stories out there in the world of culture and politics. Farish at 7:30 and the cut sheet at 7:45. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.